75.
Upon life's boundless ocean where mighty billows roll, I fix my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me as storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon His mercy and trust Him for. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I've anchored Him, the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice has stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to Him I all confide. For always when I need Him, He's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus,
I'll fear
no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He is my friend and Savior, in Him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrow and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. Yes, I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. And He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice has stilled the waters and bent their tumult seas. My pilot and deliverer, to Him I all confide. For always when I need Him, He's at my side. Yes, I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages.
On that first verse.
And upon life's boundless ocean where mighty billows roll, I fix my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me as storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon His mercy and trust Him more. For I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored
in Jesus,
for He hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock.
On that chorus once more.
Yes, I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. And I've anchored in the rock of ages. Yes, I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock.
And turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, for 6 verses. And then we'll go to Psalms 37 for 6 verses. Matthew, chapter 5, beginning with verse 3 for 6 verses. And then Psalms, division 37, beginning with verse 1 for 6 verses. It's amazing when you begin to study the scripture how the whole Bible fits together like two fingers in the same glove. I mean, it just matches each other. And so, without my ever having studied it before, I learned this week that Psalms division 37 has a beautiful proximity to the book of Matthew chapter 5. the Beatitudes that Jesus declared on the Mount of Olives. Powerful scripture. Matthew 5 and 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Powerful truth. Oh, powerful truth. The teaching of the Lord. Psalms division 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evil doers. Listen to that. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Listen to this. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's got to be one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible when it comes to God's promises to you and I. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Wow. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Now notice that. He shall bring forth thy righteousness. He will manifest your righteousness. He will make others see your righteousness. He will put his finger of approval upon you and make that visible for people to see. That's what he's saying. You don't need to go around telling people how righteous you are. You don't need to go around telling people that God, you know, did this for you or did this for you. He said he'll do that. He said he'd take care of that. Did you understand that? Now, let me read that verse 6 again. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Father, you have fed my soul for several days on this great truth this morning. And I come to my people, to those of this congregation, those who worship with us this morning. And I'm asking you that when we leave this building, we will know that the promises of God are absolutely dependable, that Satan is helpless, absolutely helpless to break one promise that God has given us if we do right and live right and obey. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. That won't everybody. Everybody said amen. Well, I did better that time. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning on promises the devil is helpless to defeat. Promises the devil is helpless to defeat. If I could convince you, I know it's hard today to convince people of almost anything. I mean, if you think the church world is hard-headed, deal with that world out there that don't know nothing about God. We live in a hard-headed day, friend. We live in a day when people can be told the truth flat-footed, right in front of their face, and they will walk away and forget it before they eat lunch that day. We live in such a day. And saints, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord as a pastor that loves the flock, that loves the people of God. And I'm coming to you to tell you that God's promises are yea and amen. And that when you stand on a promise of God and will not alter, will not be double-minded, will not get slack, will not doubt him or fear the bad things of life, God will keep his promise. Because the devil is helpless to defeat one of God's trusted promises. Notice I said one of God's trusted promises. The devil is helpless to defeat. Now, lately, I have a lot of points when I'm preaching, and I know that must scare people time-wise, but I got 17 this morning. That's the most I've ever had. 17. But they're all good. If I don't get to them, sometime I will, because I'm telling you the promises of God are literally and absolutely, absolutely, when you trust them, it is the devil is helpless to defeat them. The devil is helpless to defeat him. Now, we're going to start. Keep your Bible open to Psalms division 37. I want to write this chapter on your heart. I want to get you to take this chapter and live by it all week. If you would take this chapter and read it every day for the next 7 days, you'll have quite a bit of it committed to memory in that time. And you can live by these promises, and they won't fail. They will not fail. Now, I like the way the psalmist David started this chapter, because he knew the kind of battles we're going to fight in this world. He knew it isn't easy, not going to ever become easy, that it's a warfare. There's an enemy, there's a devil that hates you, that hates everything about you, that's going to stop everything about God in your life if he can. But I want to give you something very important, that very first verse. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Fret never, never, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now, the one thing you're going to learn very soon after you're saved is that God has some enemies. And that now you are saved and you have some enemies. And there will be many things that old Lucifer will bring against you. He'll stir up people to dislike you that's never disliked you before. He'll stir up people to say negative things to you about living for Christ and about the Bible and about the things of God. And the first thing he says, if you're going to learn to live by the promises of God, is to fret not yourself because of evildoers. You say, Brother Chambers, that doesn't sound like a promise to me. Well, it is. Because I want to tell you that the devil can do nothing to you that you don't let get a hold of you. I don't care what the devil brings against you. I don't care how many enemies that raise their voices against you. I don't care how many people that take a stand against you. If you don't ever let it get in your spirit and bother you, nothing they say or do can hurt you. Do you understand that? Now, you're not listening to me. Some of you didn't even hear what I said. You got to hear me. I want you to understand that nothing that is framed against you, nothing that the enemy raises against you, nothing that happens to you by anybody that you work with, that you live with, that you know in the church, in the world, nothing. Nothing. Are you understanding? It don't matter how mean, how bad, how wrong, how evil, how crooked that thing is that comes against you, if it never frets you, if it never gets into your being, it can never hurt you. Hallelujah. The devil can throw things at you. He can come against you with all the hell he's got. He can lie. He can cheat. He can cuss. And he can steal. He can make you miserable for a few minutes. But never let him make you miserable more than 5 minutes. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, the Bible said. You never let nothing get past that day and that Sunday. Hallelujah. You keep it clear. You keep it free. You keep your heart free of it, and you just keep on shouting. I had a woman stand over there at that back door, right in that closet, and she said, "You make me so mad. You make me so mad. You don't know how mad you make me, man. I said, well, what are you talking about? She said, you get up there in that pulpit, you act like everything's hunkadora. You act like everything's just right and perfect, and nobody's bothering you, and nothing bothering you, and you don't pay no attention to all this stuff going on around you. What's wrong with you, man? Are you crazy? No, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, and I'm not going to let those things the enemy brings against me to fret me. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. That's got to be one of the grandest promises in the Bible. I know it's worded like it's a command, but it's a command full of promise. Are you listening to me? How many can say that? A command full of promise. A command full of promise. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. More people have backslid because of some big mouth gossiper. More people have backslid because they met an enemy. More people have backslid because somebody in the church, they say, did me wrong. I was talking to somebody the other day. They said, I'm not going to church with that bunch of hypocrites. I said, well, you'll either go to church with them or you'll go to hell with them. And which one do you want? Now think about that. You got enemies and they're in the church? Well, don't worry about them. I'm not worried about them. I mean, no, nobody's fought, had to deal with more of them than Brother Chambers has had to deal with. But you never heard me get in this pulpit and start crying wolf, have you? Have you ever heard me do it, Brother Marley? I don't cry wolf. I just keep on believing God. I keep on preaching the fret not thyself because of evildoers. Have you got that? That's a promise that the devil is helpless to do anything about. Woo, I love that. I love it when the devil can't do a thing. All the people he may have that he can stir up and get them angry and get them fussing and get them growling. And God's servant just keeps on shouting. Hallelujah. I'm ready to shout. I'm as happy. I'm a happy man this morning. Hallelujah. He's real. He's real. He's real. Now let's move on. Let's go to chapter verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. See, you say, Brother Chambers, is the devil can't defeat. This is the simplicity of the believer's life. If you trust in the Lord and you do good, you don't have to worry about the enemy. I'm telling you, he can no more cross over a man doing good and trusting in the Lord. He can't defeat you. He can't take you down. He may try to take you out. He may scream and yell, but trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily you'll have a steak for supper. I had mine last night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord and do good. How many understand that? Let me see your hand if you understand that. Now, do you understand the part that says, do good? You got to do right. I don't care what's going on. You got to do right. I mean, you've made up your mind for God, and I'm going for God with all I got. So trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Let's go to number 3. Listen to me now. Verse 4. Now, this is mine. Delight thyself in the Lord. I got to get that in your mind. Delight thyself in the Lord. Now listen to this. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. Oh, saints of God, if I were you, I'd jump up and shout hallelujah, because that's what I feel like. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then he says, delight thyself in the Lord, and everything that you might even want, everything that you might desire, all the appetites of your being, all the yearnings of your mind. He said, delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Say that word, desire. Desire. Now, what could you desire that as a Christian hasn't already been promised to you? I get amazed at Christians. They're so worldly-minded. And this is a good brother. And I'm not criticizing this brother. But there's a good brother I got, and he killed a deer yesterday. And he sent it to 17 people. And when you put 17 people on your phone at one time, everybody that answers all get another text from them. And my text, I you know what I finally did? I finally cut the thing off because we're wearing my battery out. I mean, everybody's so excited that he got a deer. And when I said, you killed that beautiful thing, he come back and said, can I give you the tithe on it? I said, well, he's already dead. I guess I'd take the tithe. You know, nothing to do about it now. I just had a little fun out of him. But during Sunday school, I'm still hearing about people excited about that great big old buck with all those horns and all those, you know, beautiful. I mean, quite a marvelous thing. But I wonder if somebody got saved this morning at one of these churches, if 17 of us might get a little text that said, we had an old drunk that come into our church this morning, and he piled himself in our altar and prayed through to heaven and got right with God. How many would I hear from this morning if somebody got saved? Sister, well, I'll say it in a minute. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I love him. Nothing wrong in killing a deer as long as I get some, you know. He's a big deer hunter. But church, we get more excited over things of this life than we do of these things of God. And listen to that promise again. Delight thyself in the Lord. I've been delighting in the Lord all week. I mean, I've had a glorious time getting ready for my 82nd birthday. And I did every bit of it celebrating Jesus Christ. Celebrating Jesus Christ. He's my life. He's my joy. I feel his grace moving up and down the avenues of my soul right now. I delight in the Lord. How many will commit yourself to really delighting in the Lord this week? Let me see your hand. Stop yourself and just say, I'm going to spend the next 30 minutes just talking to Jesus and telling him how much I love him. When I get through talking to Jesus 30 minutes, I'm going to move up to the Father. I'm going to talk to him and love on him 30 minutes. And then when I get through with that, I'm going to go to the Comforter. And I'm going to love on the Comforter 30 minutes. I'm going to tell you something. That kind of worship will turn your life upside down. That kind of worship will change you. Delight thyself in the Lord. And a promise the devil can't defeat. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Those desires, though, when you delight in the Lord, are always sanctified desires. How many notice that? Would you let me see your hand if you understand that. A desire in the Lord is a sanctified desire. A desire in the Lord is not some old carnal thing wanting a new car that's bigger than the last one you had, or some other thing. The desires he's talking about is heavenly desire. Woo! I don't know about you, but I love him more than I've ever loved him. I love him more than I've ever loved him. He gets sweeter as the days go by. He gets sweeter as the moments fly. Hallelujah. That's a song. It's a good one. We hadn't sung it lately. Let's sing it. Let's sing it. Tonight, maybe. Listen, it gets sweeter. It really, Sister Mathis, I finally got that name. It gets sweeter as the days go by, don't it? How blessed these old sweet people. You know, folks, God's promises, if you stand on them, I mean, you get on them rock solid. Brother Joe sung a good song this morning. You get on those promises, and you put your feet down, spread your legs apart a little bit so you got good stability, and stand there and say, devil, come what you do, say what you may, I'm standing on the promises of the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. And God's not going to fail you. God's not going to fail you. Number four, listen. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That follows verse 3 that I just quoted. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And the next verse says, commit thy ways unto him. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. How many of you are looking for one of the greatest promises you've ever had in the Bible, and you've been trusting and delighting, and it hadn't come yet, but you're waiting on it? Let me see your hand. Will you throw your hand up? I'm waiting on that desire I've got. I'm waiting on that yearning I've got. I'm waiting on that thing that I delight in, and I'm believing God's going, oh, I got some of them. Oh, I got some of them. Oh, I got some of them. I've been a-weeping and a-sobbing for them, and I'm delighting myself in the Lord, and I'm spending my day whether I'm in the car or in the bed. I've never slept so good in my life as I've slept the last week. And I know it's one thing. I go in there to bed and I say, now, Father, I want to keep the Holy Ghost on my mind all night. I want to think about nothing but promises. And the devil gets scared to death and he won't even wake me up. Just lay there and sleep. Hallelujah. Hey, you don't believe this? I'm going to tell some of you don't even believe that. Well, I do. Hallelujah. Somebody help me praise him. Praise the commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Rest. Oh, I like number five. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. You know what that word rest? Look that word up when you get home. Don't do it now. Look that word up when you get home. That means when you just kind of throw yourself back. You turn all your problems loose. You quit musing on somebody that's bothered you. You turn anything that you got to deal with in God's hands. You just put it in God's hands and you rest in him. And hallelujah, if you rest in the Lord, the devil can't do a thing about it. You'll find peace and you'll find joy like you've never had in your life. Number six, and I love this one. I really do. God's word is so wonderful. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now notice, when you fret about something, I talked about that first, but it goes deeper here. When you fret about something, it don't take but two or three days till you're running your mouth. How many will admit that? If you're fretting about something, something's bothering you, it don't take but two or three days and you're running your mouth. You're fussing about it. And you forget who you're fussing in front of. And sometimes there's somebody listening on the side. You fret not yourself to do evil. And don't let these things get in your heart and mind. Stop them. Stop them instantly. There's folks right now sitting here listening to me. You've been so bothered about something. You've been so bugged at somebody. You've been so disquieted about something that's been worrying you. And I'm telling you right now, you need to put it on the altar. Raise your hand and say, in the name of the Lord, I turn this thing over to God right now. Do it with me, will you? Get your hand up. Turn it over to God right now. Put that thing on the altar right now. Turn it over to God and don't go pick it up. Don't go pick it up. Let it be in God's hands. And you quit fretting yourself and saying things you got no business saying. I've been guilty. You say, Brother Chambers, you've been guilty? Yeah. You know, the Bible said Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. I'm so glad God said that. I use that every time I get in trouble with my mouth. I said, well, Elijah was just like me. You know, hallelujah. But I want to quit using excuses, to be honest with you. And I think I have. I've tried hard. But don't let things bother you. Don't run your mouth about something that you can't do nothing about. You're just mouthing and disturbing your own conscience and your own mind. Could you understand that your words, when they're spoke, they're not easy to go get? Have you ever tried to go get some words you spoke when you shouldn't have spoke? And every time you mess with them, trying to get them, you make them bigger. I mean, yeah, somebody else hears about them. Oh, I love that. I love it. That's number six. It's a promise that the devil cannot defeat. It is absolute. The mark. Rest in the Lord. And number six, don't miss it now. Fret, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Hallelujah. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. But then, I like the next one. Verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Did you remember me reading that in Matthew chapter 5? The meek shall inherit the earth. You know what a meek person is? A meek person is somebody who literally has defeated the old flesh. Somebody who's been broken within their heart. Somebody who has become humbled and broken, and they just kindness and meekness. You don't know how much this world is moved by somebody that's a meek person. My wife was dynamite because she was so meek. And how many times would she say to Joseph, Dad, you ought to say that a little different. Joseph, you ought to say that a little different. I miss her saying that to me, but don't you start, okay? But you know, it's very important. The meek shall inherit the earth. Somebody understand, the meek shall inherit the earth. That's a promise. And Satan can't do nothing about it. He's helpless. Oh, do you understand? Satan is helpless. Yeah, oh, hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a God we serve, church. We are thrilled, or should be thrilled, to have a God that keeps every promise, and the devil can't do nothing about it, not a thing. Oh, I love this. Listen, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his feet, or with his teeth, I'm sorry. The Lord shall laugh at him, woo! For he seeth that his day is coming. Did you hear that? Some of you didn't hear that. I read it a little bit jumbly there. It said very, very powerfully. I mean, we're talking about the promise straight from God. Hallelujah. The wicked gnash upon you with their teeth. I mean, there's some people out there that would love to destroy you. They would. I know some of you that's had to fight some tough battles because of the enemy. But listen, remember, God is keeping the record, not you. It's not up to you to keep the record. It's not up to you to remember all of these things, because the Bible said God seeth and God laughs at that wicked man who's trying to destroy you. God says he laughs. You didn't know God laughed, did you? Well, he does. When the devil thinks he's got somebody in their toehold and he's going to destroy them, and they rise up and they shine anyway in the name of the Lord. Oh, there's a couple here this morning. The devil thinks he's got you. He thinks he's going to destroy you. He's been running his mouth to you, and you've been having to deal with it. Well, this morning, I want you to stand straight up in the name of the Lord and say, it's over. I'm trusting God. He sees the enemy. He sees the wrath of the wicked. He's laughing at them. He's laughing at them, but he's rejoicing with me, because we're going to win and we're going to be overcomers, and God's going to see us soon. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I don't understand why some of you aren't shouting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody just stand up and shout a little bit with me and praise God for his faithfulness. Will you? Anybody? Praise the Lord. He's a faithful God. He loves you. He cares about you. He laughs at that old wicked that would destroy you, because he's got you in his toehold, and he's going to carry you through the victory. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the cloud of my heart. Oh, no, just praise him and shout hallelujah. Oh, the Kansabaraya. Hallelujah. 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 What a God we serve. Glory. The Lord shall, you may be seated. I can almost see Brother Dylan fighting a battle that the enemy has brought against him. And he's had a few. Not angel now, that's not what I'm talking about. He's had a few. And I promise you, when he's winning, God's laughing. I think that is so beautiful to think that God sees me standing tall, not being fretted over the powers of the enemy. And God's looking at that person that would destroy me. And God's laughing with him. Have you ever had God to laugh with you? He does. That's what the book says. I said, that's what the book says. If God says he laughs, God laughs. You hear me? That's because he's faithful to his people. God, if you could understand this, God had rather see you in a victorious state, in a victorious moment, in a victorious triumph. God would rather see you shouting and defeating the devil utterly and totally. He'd rather see that than anything ever happens to his children. He wants to see you happy, shouting, praising God. You know, I like this one. I like this one. It says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Some of you think you can't be happy if you don't have a pocket full of money and a big old swelling bank account. Well, I've never had one of them, and it's never bothered me a minute. Never bothered me a minute. I remember Sister Chambers used to say when we was first saved and going to the church at East Burlington, it would be a mission night. And she would say, Dad, you probably ought to leave your pocketbook at home because I know how you're going to act when you get in that mission service. I'll never forget that. She was kidding with me. She didn't mean a word of it. She was doing the same thing I was doing. But she knew when we got in a good mission service and the missionary began to tell us about some little face over there in some foreign country that got saved before we knew it, we'd empty our pocketbooks. Dylan, you have the same problem. Don't you ever let that problem be defeated. His wife's grinning. He has that problem. I saw it at the conference this year. That's how we ought to be. We ought to love God so much that we don't have anything that we wouldn't give to God. We ought to love God so much that we put a little that a righteous man has is greater than many riches. Are you hearing me? I wish you'd quote that with me. A little. Boy, that really didn't go over at all. A little that a righteous man hath is better than all kinds of treasures and riches. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm trying to get you sanctified. You know what? Until you get a man's pocketbook sanctified, he ain't sanctified anyway. How many knew that? You're not sanctified till the pocketbook sanctified. You're not. Boy, you get that old pocketbook sanctified and you get to giving and you give. God is not ever a debtor to any man. Did you hear what I just said? God is never a debtor to any man. You can't outgive God. You can't out-sacrifice with God. You can't out-pour yourself out to God. He'll come back with treasures and riches that'll blow your little mind. Hallelujah. Because you are wholly given to God. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the treasures of many wicked. Don't give me the old gold and silver is all cankered. Do you ever get around some old rich dude and you can smell the stink of their money? Anybody ever done that? You can smell the stink of their money. I mean, you didn't really smell nothing, but you could tell they were greedy. You know, you find rich people and they can have millions of dollars and they're just dying to be a billionaire. They get to be a billionaire and they want to be a little bigger than that, 2 billion. This money does not satisfy. Money has no capacity to satisfy you. Only the Lord can satisfy a hungry heart. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm preaching things I didn't plan on preaching in case you don't like it, okay? In the name of the Lord, may God help us to give our best to Him. May God help us. He cannot be defeated for you. He cannot fail you. The devil cannot steal that which God has put upon you or given you. You are God's. I said you are God's. And those charismatic preachers that preach for dollars, they don't know what they're talking about. I'm here to tell you the righteousness of the righteous is the joy of the earth. And when you live a righteous life, hallelujah, He gives you as much as you need. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. A little. Now I really like this one. I really do. This is number 9. I love it much. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Did you hear that? You know, I'm having trouble with some of you this morning. There's somebody not even listening. I feel it. You're not listening. Listen to me. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Did you know He plans your day for you if you would let Him? And you know He plans tomorrow for you if you would let Him. I wonder how many of you have ever got up one day this week and turned the day over to God before you got started and waited for God to plan your steps all day long. And you'd feel directions in things that you hadn't even thought about. You'd feel God's hand in things that hadn't come to your mind. Because the steps of a good man. God is the greatest fortune teller in the world. In the universe. Did you hear what I said? God is the greatest fortune teller in the universe. Because the steps of a good man are already planned. Hallelujah. I've drove up in a parking lot many times and drive up and somebody just moving from the front door, the closest door to, the closest parking place to the door. And I would say, thank you, Lord. You've been planning my day all day long. Everything's going so beautiful. You say, you're crazy. Yeah, I'm loving it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How many of you really would like for God to start ordering your steps? Let me see your hand. Raise them high. Some of you are really nervous about this. You think I'm trying to pull something on you. Well, I am. I'm trying to tell you the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I'm trying to tell you that God wants to order your life for you. And God wants to have his hand upon everything happening to you. And God wants to make you the treasure of his heart. A real Christian is a treasure to God. Let me say that again. A real Christian is a treasure to God. And I've said it like that before. I like that. I like that. A real Christian is a treasure to God. God loves his children. God loves his sons and daughters. He will not fail you. He's planning your life. He's directing your steps. He's guiding your footprints. He's walking with you through every valley you go through. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. God orders the steps of a good man. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I've been saved 66 years, Sister Mathis. 66. March 1952. I made some blunders, but I have seen his hand. That little testimony from that mother on Friday this week, when I read it, I just squalled. Thank you, God. I never took no credit for that miracle because I didn't get any credit. I didn't deserve any credit. I'm just an old country preacher walking down the hallway of a hospital, and the Holy Ghost says, there's somebody needing you right down this hall. And I walk down the hall and says, where's that little girl that's calling for me? You know? And I walk in there, and she's got 105 fever. She's got the mumps. She's got the chicken pops. And she had some other thing all put together. And she was dying. And the Holy Ghost said, oh no, she's living. Hallelujah. I never knew the name, never heard it, didn't need to hear it. All I need to know is God did it, and he's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. Is it okay if I tell you a couple of others? You know, I'm an old man now, and I'm not seeking any credit. I don't want any credit. All I want to do is please God. I was in Mercy Hospital. Not Mercy, this was Carolina. Used to be called something different from that. And I was riding an elevator. Here was a mom and dad. Well, I knew there was a mom and dad. They were squalling. They was all broken. And I said, I can tell y'all are really upset. What's going on? And she said, our daughter is dying. The doctor just told us there's no hope. And we're just heartbroken. We stepped off the elevator. I said, well, let's ask God to change that, would you? So I took them by the hand. We had a Holy Ghost prayer. A few days later, I never got their name. I didn't know who they were. That didn't make no difference. A few days later, they come driving up in the parking lot over here on Little Rock Road. And they said, is there a preacher here that we could talk to? We had a miracle the other day from a minister. We don't know who he is. We think this is the place he pastors. If he's here, we want to tell him what God did. And they came in my office and stood there and said, Reverend Chambers, you remember praying with us outside the elevator? I said, yes, I do. It was a beautiful prayer time, wasn't it? And they said yes, and we went back to the room later, and the doctor said, we don't know what happened, but everything has changed, and your daughter's going to be all right. She's been healed. Hallelujah. Never knew a name, didn't care about knowing the name. All I knew was God. It's a kabashalamor. God is a miracle worker, and he's just looking for somebody who will let him perform a miracle for you. Hallelujah. Oh, said, oh, somebody raise your hand. God healed Brother Mathis this morning. God wants to give that man a miracle. Oh, because, oh, someone raise your hands up in your heart and just talk to God a moment, will you? Father, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Let us know the fire of the Spirit like we've never known it, Lord. He's a great, big, wonderful God. Oh, I love it, Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God's not looking for somebody to give credit to. God's not looking for that. I don't want it. I don't want it. I really don't. I just want to please God. Listen to what we see next. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Can you imagine David saying that? Here he is, old man. His hair was white. Like some people may have been gone. I don't know. I'm blessed that I still have mine. Even though it's like cotton, it just flies around if I don't be careful. But I want to tell you something. David said, I've been a young man, but now I'm an old man. And I've watched the hand of God all my life. And all I can say is, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Does that help anybody? Raise your hand. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Can I say this morning? I've never seen the righteous forsaken in my life. Corpicella, Brother Danny, after 65, almost 66 years, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And I've never seen good people out there begging for bread. Hallelujah. God's met their needs. Hallelujah. When I got saved in the East Burlington Church of God, everybody was poor and everybody lived on the Mill Village Street and made very little salaries. My first salary was 75 cents an hour. And I really didn't deserve that because I want much good. I remember doing socks, working in a sock factory, 75 cents an hour. Great day, wrecked the truck and they fired me. Pulled out in front of a motorcycle coming down the road. Lost my job. You know, you don't want to hear my story, but I want to tell you one thing. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And there's been so many times he showed up for me when I didn't deserve him showing up. I'd like to see the hands of how many of you have ever had God show up for you when you knew you didn't deserve it. Would you raise your hand? You knew you hadn't earned it. Oh, Sister Dixie, what a God. Oh, Rosa. Hallelujah. Somebody help me praise him this morning. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen his children begging bread. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love scriptures like that. The devil can't do nothing about this wonderful promise that we got. He fights and screams and hollers and then loses and we go on shouting. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Oh, what a God we serve. I know I'm going to have to quit them. I'm not going to finish. That's okay. Let me get at least one more. Could I do one more? Hallelujah. God's absolute promises, they are so wonderful. They are so wonderful. Hallelujah. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not the saints. Listen to that. And forsaketh not the saints. And forsaketh not the saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. I mean, we don't rejoice because the wicked is going to suffer so badly. We really don't. I don't want to see it happen. But it happens because they refuse to obey God. But he'll never let the righteous down. You need to put that down in your little book. Write it up on the avenue of your mind. Get it up there where you can quote it. I mean, make sure you remember it, that God preserveth the saints forever. God preserveth. I like that. We're like a bottle of preserves. We've been preserved. And the lid on the top is the blood of Jesus. And the ring around the blood is the Holy Ghost. I'm just using an illustration that comes to my mind, so I'm sorry. But we're preserved. We are preserved. We are kept by the power of the Holy Ghost. We're kept by the power of, the Bible says that. We're kept. Somebody say it with me. We're kept by the power of the Holy Ghost. We are preserved by the power of the Holy Ghost. The devil is helpless. The devil is helpless. All you've got to do to let the devil in the door of your life is disobey. Do wrong. Did you know? Listen to me now. I want you to hear this. I'm trying to close. You lived a godly Christian life. God's been with you all through the years. But you get old and careless. I am so grateful. I don't deserve it. But my old age hasn't made me careless. And I'm grateful, Brother Marlon. I see so many old people that get so careless. You've seen them, Sister Mathis. They get so careless. They go to doing things that they never would have done before when they was on fire. And they go to compromising. And they go to letting down the standard and letting down the great book of the word. No, no, no. Hallelujah. The saints should get stronger when they get older. One man said to me this week, I am broken because they're pushing all the old men off. And these young Turks are coming along and they want the new music. And they want the new theology. And they are too lazy to get a message from God. And so they run to T.D. Jakes on the internet. And they'll go the easy route. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. That route is dangerous. That route is hellish. That route will take you into destruction. And before you know it, you'll be tolerating things you never tolerated. And it can happen just like that. Because you get careless. I'm not going to get careless. I'm going to do my best to stand true. And I got one thing. Brother Lawless is responsible for this one. How many of you know the story of Job? How many of you know the story of Job? How many know that everything he had was taken from him? My first sermon was in the home of a family called the Damerons. I was not married. I was about 17, maybe I turned 18. And I preached my first sermon in a prayer meeting. They asked me to come preach. And I preached on this thought, doeth thou still retain thine integrity? And I used the words of Job's wife to Job when he was suffering. Job, curse God and die. Does I still retain? That was my sermon. Never forget it. It made an imprint on my mind. Probably didn't help nobody else. They probably thought, if that kid thinks he's going to be a preacher, he sure is going to be disappointed. That's probably what they said. I imagine that's what they said. I don't know. But I just know I meant business. That's really all that mattered back then. Hallelujah. But Job lost everything. All of his cattle, all of his barns, his kids. Had 10 kids, had 7 girls. Whew. 7 girls. This is Stephanie, that'd be a handful. How many agree? You got one daughter. Lord, give him 7. I'm kidding with him now. We had 7 daughters, 3 sons. Everything was destroyed. Now I want you to read the last chapter of Job when you get home. I want you to see something that I had never seen. And Brother Danny brought it to my attention. When Job came back under God's favor, and God started defeating all this enemies that Job had had, God gave him back double everything he'd had, except his children. God didn't give him back 10 more children, because Job had stayed on his face and saved his kids. And his kids hadn't been lost. That's a good promise to you, but Steve, I got 3 that need a miracle. But they got a dad on his face squalling. And they're not going to be lost. Because God kept Job's, hallelujah, and God's keeping mine. And so when God gave him back double, Brother Danny, thank you for that. That was a blessing. When God gave him back double, he didn't give him but 10 more kids. I guess God was having pity on him not to give him 20. I don't know how you going to look at that one. But God just gave him 10 to replace the 10 he had. Everything else was doubled. Now God is going to keep his promise to us. I've been a Job. You've been a Job. Most Christians have a few Job experiences. They're good for you. You know what a Job experience will do? It'll either make you or break you. It'll raise you up or it'll put you down. It'll destroy you or it'll give you victory. Well, thank God, I know what my God's doing. Somebody raise their hand now. Let's just thank God. Father, I'm thanking you for this sermon. It was for me. It's a comfortable. Ronda Salu. Really, I'm in Sondokoro. Hallelujah. Every one of you with children, you be a faithful man like Job was, and God will save your kids as sure as the sun rose this morning and as sure as the moon will come out tonight. I'm telling you, God is a faithful God, and God delights in his children. God delights in his children. Stand up quickly with me, please. We praise him, the Lord. Would you raise your hands and just love him with all your heart? Father, I love you this morning. You gave me this message for me, and I pray for my wonderful people, God. Every mama and every dad, you claim those kids right now, and don't you take no for an answer. Devil, you're a liar, and you can't destroy the promises of God. Are you listening to me? The devil can't destroy the promises of God. So good to have Brother Carlos's son, I think. So good to have you over there. We're good to have them with us. Listen, God bless you, lady. Now, church, I want you to lift your hand up. I want you to ask God to fill somebody's heart with promise this morning. I want God to fill your hearts with promise. Good to have you. I want God to fill your heart with promise. There's no reason to doubt. God's faithful. You don't have to worry about it. You got two precious kids, two or three? Three. God's going to take care of it. You believe it? You too, children. Sister Marilyn, tell her God's going to take care of hers. Marilyn. Sister Marilyn, tell her God's going to take care of hers. Those four of yours, Marlon. I claim them with you, Martin Clark. Oh, hallelujah. I claim them, Sister Judy. I claim them, Sister Doris. I claim them, Sister Mathis. I think you've got a girl maybe that's away. I'm not sure. I claim it. I claim it with you. Don't you doubt it. Don't you doubt it. Don't you doubt it now. I want everybody in this building to raise both hands at God and claim every promise from him. And remember, I've been old, young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I've never seen it, and I never expect to see it, because my God is faithful. Somebody scream it. My God is faithful. Say it real loud, will you? Say it real loud. Come, Sister Mathis. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Somebody help me praise it. Oh, I feel this Holy Ghost all over my being. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Somebody help me praise him this morning, will you? He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. I wish somebody would run with me. Hallelujah. I preached 50 minutes. Hallelujah. 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 What a God. What a God we serve. Raise both hands, pick up your Bible, and meet me in the altar. Bring your Bible. Sing it with all your heart, sister. Pull that microphone close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a heart to cut it. Raise your hands now. Hallelujah. Sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take your Bible in hand. Raise it up, praise the Lord.
On the promises of Christ, my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring.
Hallelujah.
Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing.
Standing.
I'm standing on the promises of God.
Sing it, sing it, and shout it. Hallelujah.
Stand.
Oh, hallelujah.
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Standing. Hallelujah.
Standing on the promises of God.
Praise him with all your heart, church.
We'll supply the
Our sons have the Lord. Hallelujah.
Not fail.
Hallelujah.
When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail.
Hallelujah.
By the living word of God, I shall.
Listen, by the living word, I shall prevail.
Standing on the promises of God.
Everybody sing it if you're not praying.
God, my Savior,
standing.
Standing.
Oh, standing.
Standing.
Hallelujah.
Standing. Standing.
I'm standing. Are you?
Standing on the promises of God, God my Savior.
Got to happen. The devil can't stop me. He's helpless. He's fruitless.
Standing. Oh, I'm standing.
Sing it. Sing it.
The promises of God.
Hallelujah. Everybody now sing.
Oh, I'm standing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Standing.
All right. Set the heart
to all of them. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Oh, standing.
Standing.
Oh, standing. My children,